بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, last night we had commenced with Surah Yusuf. And in the last few verses of Surah Hud, which precedes Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reason behind the revelation of this particular surah, and likewise all those other verses that speak about the lives of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. وَكُلَّنْ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah addresses Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that all of these incidents and stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, what they went through, what they endured during their lives, their interactions with their people, etc., the purpose of revealing these and mentioning these in the Quran, نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, this is to strengthen your resolve, to strengthen your heart. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقِّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Allah says that that which has come to you in this Quran is true, and together with this it is a lesson, and it is a reminder for the people of Iman. So number one, it is to strengthen and to make the resolve of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam firm. And together with this, it is then a lesson for the people of Iman. And later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, that certainly there are great lessons for the people of intelligence in these incidents and stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. With regard to Surah Yusuf, Mufassirin have mentioned that there are three unique attributes or qualities that the surah has. One is that unlike most of the other surahs of Quran, which were revealed part by part, certain verses at certain times, some verses years later, and then Nabi alayhi salam would command that it must be placed in the surah or that surah, but Surah Yusuf was revealed all at once from beginning to end to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, Mufassirin write that this particular surah is the only surah of the Quran wherein the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is discussed. Unlike the other Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, we mentioned before Musa alayhi salam, his incident comes in various different surahs. Likewise, the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi Yusuf's incident, his life, his story, is only restricted and mentioned in this particular surah. And thirdly, the entire surah has been revealed in chronological order. From the beginning to the end of the life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we find other surahs while Allah discusses the incidents of the Anbiya, but in between He will then place certain verses with a certain purpose or a certain lesson. Here, from beginning to end, the entire life of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is discussed. And then ulama explain that the revelation of this particular surah was towards the latter part of the Meccan period, after what was known as Aamul Huzn, the year of grief, where we know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions were boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib. It was very difficult for them. They had very little supplies, very little to eat. The young children would be crying out of hunger and thirst. And then the last year of that boycott, three very difficult and weighty incidents took place. One was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lost his external support, which was his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib, we know, would always make an effort to shield Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from the Quraysh, from the Meccans. Second was he lost his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha. This was his internal support, that wife of his who bore all of his children, who supported him when he was first given nubuwat. And thirdly, the entire incident of Ta'if took place. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after this boycott, when he realized that he was not getting a good reception from the people of Makkah, he then went to Ta'if, and we know the entire incident that took place. So these three very weighty incidents happened in this year, and thereafter Surah Yusuf was revealed as a consolation, as a means, as we mentioned before, as a means of strengthening the heart of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you will then come to know of the different challenges that Nabi Yusuf had to face, and in this way this will make your burden and your challenges easy. And this is the system of this world. A person, if he is put into some difficulty, some difficult situation, and he is all alone in this, then that situation becomes even more difficult for him. But when he sees there are others in the same predicament, in the same boat, then this lightens the burden upon him. It becomes a bit easier for him to then bear. So this was the revelation of Surah Yusuf and various different lessons which we have discussed before also, and many ulama have given lengthy discourses on just this particular surah alone. But just a few lessons for us to understand. In the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dream that Nabi Yusuf had seen as a young boy. Inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wash-shamsa wal-qamar ra'aytuhum li sajidin. He says that I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon. All of these heavenly bodies were prostrating before me. Now we can imagine a youngster, perhaps a teenager, and he sees such a strange dream, such a disturbing dream to a young boy. What is his first reaction? He goes immediately to his father and he narrates this dream to him. And here ulama explain for us to understand the open relationship that Nabi Yusuf had with his father, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the relationship we should strive to have with our children, that they can also come to us when there is something bothering them, something that is troubling them, and they know that this is a space where I can come to and I will get good advice. They can trust us, they can rely upon us. They know that we will not break their trust, we will guide them, we will not just become angry with them, start shouting them. So he comes to his father, he narrates this dream to him. And then look at the advice Yaqub alayhi salam gives. Ya bunayya, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. That listen, do not narrate this dream of yours to your own brothers. Fayakidu laka kayda, because they may then plot or plan against you. Inna ash-shaytana lil insani aduwwun mubin. And then because he doesn't want to place blame on the brothers, he says shaytan is an open enemy to insan. In other words, shaytan may tempt them and make them plan something against you. Because Yaqub alayhi salam realized that this dream was a signal and a sign of something very great that would come to Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But again, from here we understand the need for us to conceal our achievements. When a person achieves something in this world, whatever it may be, whether it is a person buys a new car, he buys a new house, or his child is born, his grandchild is born, as much as we may want to share the news, yes, with close ones, with relatives, with close friends who we know are waiting to hear the news, for us to share it with them, there's no issue with this. But many a times, unfortunately, it has become the norm, and we've mentioned this many times before, that now a person's child is born, and then he sends that message out to all and sundry, with the weight of the child, and how many fingers the child has, and exactly what time, and what second the child was born. But understand, ulama say, that there may be people who are viewing that particular picture of yours, or that message of yours, who themselves have been deprived of having a child. We don't know what eye they may be looking at it with, or what feeling comes into their heart. Inadvertently, shaitan is an enemy to insan, and he may make this person feel jealous, some hasad, some enmity that they may have for you, and this will then result in some calamity befalling the child or befalling the person. Al-aynu haqqun, the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, the effect of the eye is a reality. So here Yaqub alayhi salam is advising his son that whatever you achieve in your life, conceal it. Don't narrate it to everybody. Here his very own brothers, because we don't know with what eye they may look at you, therefore keep it to yourself, share it with your close ones, those who you know have muhabbat and love for you, and restrict it to that. And later on also we find when he advises his other sons, when they were then going to Egypt to look for Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, or rather to go and get some provisions because of a drought that had come in their area, he then says to them that you are my sons and all of you are going together. This again will attract undue or unwanted attention, that they are young men who are strong and all of them are the sons of one man. To have a son was regarded as a very great bounty, and now this person has so many sons who are all strong, capable, healthy. So therefore, udkhulu min abwabin mutafarriqa. He says when you enter the city, then enter from different gates or from different entrances, break up your group and enter, again so that you do not attract unwanted attention and the evil eye does not befall you. So this is the first lesson that we learn, to conceal our achievements, not to broadcast it for everybody to come to know. Thereafter, when the brothers of Nabi Yusuf eventually did come to learn of this dream, or together with this ulama explained that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was very close to his father, and his father had a special bond and special love for him. So one day these brothers come together and they say, Yusufu wa akhuhu ahabbu ila abina minna. that Yusuf and his youngest brother Binyamin, they are more beloved to our father than us. He has a special attachment to them. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ But we are a strong group. They are still young. If anything happens, they can't even assist him physically. We are strong. We have the physical strength. We have the capability. إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ Our father is misguided. He has been misled into loving these brothers more than us, because we have more of a chance of helping him and assisting him. And therefore, look at what their hasad and their enmity led them to do. They then said, "Uqtulu Yusuf, awitrahuhu ardan, yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum, wa takunu min ba'dihi qawman salihin." And here we learn the very sly and stealthy way that the nafs will trick a person. They say that, listen, let us take the life of Yusuf, or we will take him and we will dump him in some land very far away, and then the attention of our father will come upon us only. وَتَكُونُوا مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ And then they say to one another, that after doing this act, we can then become a righteous group. We can then start doing things correctly. We won't do anything evil, anything incorrect. So we'll just do this one sin, one act of disobedience, and later on we'll make tawbah and then we'll change our lives. And again we find this is how nafs will trick a person. That just look one time, or just speak one time, or just do it one time, and after that you can make tawbah, you can change your life. So this was the hasad that led them to do this. And then we find the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that in the akhirat, what is the consequence of hasad? Al-hasadu ya'kulu al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-naru al-hatab. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, jealousy and envy will consume the good deeds of a person just as fire consumes firewood. A person will come with an entire mountain of good deeds. Various ahadith, on the day of Qiyamah, that mountain of good deeds will be there. But partially because of having enmity, jealousy for somebody, envy over somebody, these good deeds will dwindle away and will be taken away, and the person will not get the reward for his efforts in this world. In the akhirat, it will all have gone to waste. So this is the consequence of hasad, of jealousy. And later on we see the end result of this is Allah humbled them before Yusuf. They had to then stand before him, beg him for some provisions, and submit before him, yield before him, because he had sabr, they had jealousy and envy. That is why ulama explained, the greatest punishment for a person who is envious, who is jealous, is the burning that takes place within his own heart. He does not need any external punishment, but that fire that is raging within him, and he keeps on seeing people progressing, and he can't take it, he's having sleepless nights, because somebody else is doing well, that in itself is an adab for him. Then we commence with the 13th juz, and in the beginning, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, this was now after he had been released from prison, and the truth had come out into the open regarding the incident with Zulaikha, where she had accused him of seducing her. He maintained his innocence. Eventually, she then confessed that أنا راوتته عن نفسه. I was the one who seduced him, and he was speaking the truth. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ بِالْغَيْبِ That I wanted to absolve myself, so that the governor, or this king, who had taken me under his care, he should come to know that I did not deceive him, I did not betray him, I did not try and have an affair with his wife. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي كَيْدَ الْخَائِنِينَ So this is why he tries to absolve himself. According to some riwayat, Jibreel alayhi salam then comes to him and says, O Yusuf, are you absolving yourself completely, whereas you know that you also had some inclination? And this goes back to the verse, وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ When she attempted to seduce him, then he initially also had some inclination. And this is a human inclination. A beautiful woman is in front of a man, and she is inviting him to fulfill his desire. So he had that temporary inclination. لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ Had he not seen the proof of his Rabb, then he also would have fallen into this act of sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was a Nabi of Allah, Allah saved him, Allah protected him. So Jibreel reminds him that don't declare yourself to be innocent. And then he says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي That I do not wish to absolve my own nafs. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ Because the nature of the nafs is that it will command a person to do evil. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي But my Rabb has had mercy upon me, and that is why I was then saved. Again, the lesson we learn is that when a person now has a good run of good deeds, like we will find in the month of Ramadan, a person is making an effort, and he's reading his salah, he's coming to the masjid, he's making tilawat of Quran, and he may have had the good fortune of abandoning some guna and sin that was plaguing him before, then he should not attribute this to himself. He should not think that now I am pure, I am clean. وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. The nafs is always lurking, always waiting, but a person should still have hope and trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only if Allah will protect me, Allah will come to my rescue, Allah will save me, then only will I be able to lead a clean and a pure life. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَآخِرُ دَوَانَا لِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.